News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, of course, today is D-Day for the US election, and millions of Americans have already voted, but millions will go to the polls today to decide who will the next president, the 47th president of the United States, be. Will it be Kamala Harris or will it be Donald Trump? And Greg Swenson, chairman of Republicans Overseas UK, joins us this morning. Good morning, Greg. Do you still think that the Donald has it?
I don't know. I don't know if I'd be that confident about it, you know, saying he definitely has it. But it feels pretty good. I felt better a week ago. I think Vice President Harris had a little bit of a final week bump, you know, but slightly. I mean, even when Trump was up ahead, you know, ahead in all five or all seven swing states a week ago, he's probably up in, you know, four or five now. You know, it still was under a point, you know, obviously within the margin of error, and it still is. So most of the stuff I'm reading this morning is indicating that Trump's in a better position, you know, in terms of the swing states, but, you know, still too close to call.
Yeah.
And indeed, the
swing states, I think half of them the last time and the time before then, they were won by less than a percentage point. These swing states, they hang on a knife edge anyway, to some extent. One thing that might give Trump supporters and Republicans some comfort is Trump does tend to underpoll in opinion polls beforehand. I know there's been lots of talk about the silent women vote, the silent Gen Z vote, the silent Kamala vote, but there is definitely a silent Trump vote too, yes?
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, and then the question, the great question, Ciara, and it's a really great point you made, it's have the pollsters adjusted their models to correct for the, you know, the undercounting of Trump voters in 16 and 20, and nobody really knows. So the only thing I've seen so far is that there's a famous little town in New Hampshire that votes first. They vote at midnight or 12:01 a.m. on election day, and it's only six people. And Biden won 5-0. For some reason, they only had five instead of six. And Hillary won, I think, 5-1. And Trump and Kamala split it this morning, 3-3. So that's a very good early indicator for Trump.
Yeah. And in fairness, New Hampshire, which has traditionally always been a blue state, has seen a surge in popularity for Trump that was somewhat unexpected.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that is unexpected because they voted, you know, really heavily weighted toward Nikki Haley in the primaries. It's kind of a purple state. It's more of a swing state. You know, they do tend to be more moderate, though, you know, much more moderate versions of Republicans. And so but I think they've come around to Trump. I think they're voting, you know, with the party at this point.
One of the questions I think that has to be asked is if Donald Trump loses, Greg, the last time he lost, I was live on air in 2020 when I think it was around 3 a.m. American time, Trump made a speech. And we thought, all of us, because we were watching what was happening and what was unfolding, that he was going to concede. Of course, in that speech, he didn't concede. He said the election had been stolen. And it was, you know, something that we said at time on the air was, my God, what are we hearing here? This is extraordinary. Yeah. It's like the man is calling for a coup. What do you predict is likely to happen should Donald Trump lose?
I think it will be better than last time. And there's a few reasons for that. And obviously, no one's going to call for a coup. But I do totally admit that his behavior was disgraceful at moments in late 2020 and early 21. And so I would hope that this time he'd be a little bit more reasonable about it. And I think what he did was, you know, highlight some election irregularities, but he just did it in a clumsy way. And that's unfortunate. And this time around, I think that there's two things. One is, you know, he's not in Washington. He's not in the levers of power right now. So he doesn't. And it was the same thing with Hillary Clinton in 2017. When she called the election illegitimate and there were rioting, there was a lot of rioting on the day of and shortly after the inauguration, a lot of destruction, a lot of violence. And I think that, you know, but Mrs. Clinton was not vice president or president at that time. So she, you know, it was, I wouldn't say it was harmless because violence is never harmless, but she wasn't in a position of power, whereas Trump was in 2020. Okay. And I think that's what worried people.
Are you suggesting that there could be trouble either way? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, there could be. I don't think there will be, but there could be. And, it was really...
A lot of people would say that, Trump has been talking about, places that will allow you to vote without identification, et cetera. Yeah. That rhetoric has been being kind of pushed out by his campaign almost as a forerunner of him suggesting illegitimacy should he lose.
Yeah. And I think that is the argument on the left that they're trying to position so that we can have another election denial. And I think it's the opposite. I think what they're doing, and they talked about this and they talked about it at the convention in meetings with me, that they're just being proactive. And I think that the real flaw with 2020 is that they weren't proactive. They waited till after the election to complain about the Pennsylvania law. They waited and really picked on the wrong issues. They got obsessed on voting machines, which is a big mistake. What they should have obsessed on was censorship of the New York Post and the Hunter Biden laptop and the collusion with the FBI and all of that stuff. And this time around, they've been proactive. They have people on the ground. They're getting ahead of it. So if there are irregularities, if there are non-citizens on the voter rolls like there were in Virginia, we took the Governor Youngkin took them off, granted that, so I think being proactive is better than waiting until the day after.
Lastly, I imagine yourself and many other people around the world will be having sort of watch parties this evening glued to the coverage. Around what time do you think we will start to see some indication tonight of who the next president of the United States may be?
I think the early indicator, it's tough to say overall because, so many states like Pennsylvania are not very efficient and probably will not be reporting right away. But if you look at Virginia, which is not a swing state, but it is kind of a purple state, they report relatively early. It'll be 1 a.m. Last time around, they actually reported their results only 26 minutes after the polls closed. So I think around 1 a.m., between 1 and 2 a.m., look at Virginia as kind of an early indicator. I don't think that Trump will win Virginia, but if whoever overperforms the polls there will look really good for the rest of the night.
Look, thank you very much for joining us this morning. That is Greg Swenson there, chairman of the Republicans Overseas UK.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.